This sermon has been revised. The current version is 3/20/14.
Today is January 20th, year 2008. It's Septuagesima Sunday. This is the earliest that the Sunday ever occurs, and so this is going to be also the earliest Easter that we can have during the liturgical cycle. All right, now during this sermon, we're going to talk about the proper use of science, okay, and the improper use of science. And we're going to refer to the proper use of science as true science, and the improper use of science is false science. This is very important for us to know today, because a lot of these people out there, almost everybody in the world today, is using false science to contradict Catholic dogmas. And we're going to explain what we mean by that. Now, the first thing we have to make clear to people out here to understand, there's certain things that human science can explain. And there are certain things that human science cannot explain, nor never explain, as far as human science is concerned. And we read about that in Ecclesiastes 3:23-25, where the Lord says, "It's not necessary for thy eyes to see those things that are hid. In unnecessary matters be not over curious, and in many of his works be not inquisitive. For there are many things shown to thee above the understanding of men." That's the key verse right there. There are many things shown to thee that are above the understanding of men. We have to understand that, because certain revelations that God gives us that are above our understanding, the revelations that he does are called supernatural revelations. Now, we also have things that are called natural revelations. God reveals his truth to us in two ways: through natural revelations, which all men have by the law upon their heart. And these things even the pagan on the island can know by the natural law upon his heart. And then there's other things that God reveals to us from heaven called supernatural revelations that we cannot know unless God reveals them. And some of God's supernatural revelations are also above science. Some aren't, and some are. For instance, if God tells us that the earth is the center of the universe, and he has done that, we're going to get into that later. I don't want to deal with that too much right now, but that's something people are saying, that you can propose two models, a geocentric model and a heliocentric model, and they both work.
However, after looking at the evidence, one can see that the heliocentric argument is absolutely based upon false science and is totally against reason.
So let's say, for the sake of the argument, we cannot, scientifically we can prove a geocentric model, but also science says they can prove a heliocentric model, and we really can't determine which is true unless we're outside the universe like God looking down. We have to believe
that the earth is at the center of the universe and does not move,
because God told us. Now, what we're going to discuss here is the levels of science. We just spoke about human science. There's certain things above our understanding that we cannot comprehend and never explain through human science. And then we're going to go into the second level of science. There's certain things, what I call angelic science. And then we have what we can call divine science. Now, there's certain things that angels can understand that we cannot understand. There's certain things that angels can understand scientifically even, that's above even human science. And then there's the final level of science called divine science. Divine science are the things that God only can understand and do. No one, not even an angel, no creature can ever comprehend that science. So these truths that we're talking about here is above even the angelic intelligence. So even angels cannot comprehend them. Certain things that we're talking about that belong to the divine science are, how does God create things out of nothing? No creature could ever know that. Only God can understand it, and only God can scientifically understand it into his own mind. Even if he tried to explain it to us, we would never understand it, because we're not God. So there's certain things that no creature can ever, and boundaries in which they can never go, because they're not God. Humanists, because they all want to be like God, that's why they fall into such grave and gross perversions and heresies and errors, because they think that they're like God, and they try to challenge God. And they don't have the humility to say, "Lord, there are certain things that are above my ability to understand, and I accept them on faith because you are God, and everything else you have shown me is true, and all the great goodness that you have shown me, so you can make that logical conclusion that therefore God doesn't lie, everything he does is good, I take it by faith that you create out of nothing." Now, you could know by faith that God does create out of nothing, but you can't know how he does it. No scientist can duplicate it. No scientist can even hope to explain it. Now, when we're talking about certain dogmas that are above human science, we're talking about, let's give you an example. Now, first, we'll get to that in a second. When I mention angelic science, by the way, you're talking about the science and things that angels know. And that means evil angels, too. Good angels and evil angels. And it also means saints in heaven and damned humans in hell. They know things right now that we don't even know about science. Even the damned humans that are in hell right now, they come up upon earth and do things, and they know the science of that realm that we don't even know. This is this realm our Lord tells us we should not intentionally ever try to get into that realm. It's not for us to know those things unless God himself deigns to reveal it to us through his church and through his saints. Now that realm, they have power to do things, scientifically even, that we can't comprehend as humans, but they can do it. Okay, we have an example in the Holy Scriptures where the prophet Habakkuk was taken up by his hair by a good angel and transported into Daniel's lion den to feed him. And we read that in Daniel's 14:32-35. Now there was in Judea a prophet called Habakkuk, and he had boiled pottage, and he had broken bread in a bowl, and was going into the field to carry it to the reapers. And the angel of the Lord said to Habakkuk, carry the dinner which you hast into Babylon to Daniel, who is in the lion's den. And Habakkuk said, Lord, I never saw Babylon, nor do I know the den. And the angel of the Lord took him by the top of his head and carried him by the hair of his head and set him in Babylon over the den by the force of the Spirit. There's angelic science. No human science can explain how that can happen. For how fast, first of all, pick him up out of here without ripping his hair out and hurting him, and then transporting him, boom, faster than the speed of light. This is the way saints and angels come from heaven, which is outside the whole universe. I don't want to talk about that now, but heaven is outside of this whole universe. This universe is really encased in like a pool of water. I don't want to explain how that happens now. But it's outside the whole, and they come down to earth like this and go back up. This is beyond any human scientific understanding. We don't have the ability as humans to handle that science or to comprehend it. It's above our ability to understand it while we're still on earth as humans. But it's not above the angelic science. The angels indeed, not only do they know how it's done, they do it. We even read about the things that the devil does. Now the devil can do that too. He transports witches. He definitely does. He will take witches that are in his power, that have made pacts with the devil, and he transports them to covens in this other realm, this angelic realm, out of their bodies. And he takes them out of their bodies and brings their souls into this realm, and they communicate with one another in this realm. The devil does that. No human science is ever going to be able to explain that or duplicate it. These are the things that's the realm of angelic science. Now, we're going to get into some of the other mysteries, too. We're talking about the idea of fire and hail. Now, this is above human science. What God did when he sent that plague to Pharaoh, okay? And he had fire burning in hail, which is fire burning in ice, encased in ice. And then when it hit the ground after the plague was over, a little warm sunbeam hit the hail and then melted it. And we read about that in the Book of Wisdom 16:22. But snow and ice endured the force of fire and melted not. But they might know that fire burning in the hail and flashing in the rain destroyed the fruits of the enemies. But it also goes on to say, and a little bit later, a sunbeam came out and melted it. But I ask any human scientist today to explain to me how they can make a burning hot fire burning within the ice and not melting it in the least. Jesus and Peter walking on water. Walking on water. Duplicate that one for me. Now you could fake it like a magic trick and put a little rock under there with water above and pretend you're walking on water, but that defies human science. But it's not contrary to science. It's just that you can't comprehend how that is being done. It's above human science. That's supernatural above human science. You can't comprehend how that's being done. Miracles, which we have a record of miracles going back in the history of the church, documented so about people being raised from the dead, medical doctors, even in the modern eras of even recording certain miracles that took place and saying, we have somebody had no nose on her face and all of a sudden she came back and there's a nose there. How did that happen? That's creating something out of nothing. That is, you tell me what, now the only, we're talking not a transplantation of a nose, neither humans can do that, but this is something out of nothing. Or Jesus when he made the blind see and he made the deaf to hear. All these different miracles that take place even with saints in the New Testament era, we have a record of it. Duplicate it for me, if you will, in a laboratory. You can't do it. You see? So now what we're talking about, when it comes to these truths that we cannot understand by human science, we have to accept all these truths by faith anyway. Even the ones we can explain by science. So anything God tells us, we know is true. Because God is the one who's observing it. Now when a human observes something, I'm going to get into another realm of science in which God doesn't reveal anything to us in that realm other than what he leaves that up to us to discover. Things that you look in the natural world, that God lets us discover those things, and that redounds his great glory. True science is so beautiful. True silence is so wonderful, and I love science so much because it redounds to God. True science has nothing to fear from the Catholic Church or the true God. It always verifies and corroborates the true God. And when it can, when it cannot explain something, it has to submit itself and say, okay, I know there's a scientific explanation for it, but I also know it's above my human ability to understand it. Because only either God can understand it, or maybe even God even gave it to the angels to understand it. And let's talk about, for instance, the Holy Eucharist, where us Catholics believe on faith alone, because it can never be, it transcends any human science, that under that Holy Eucharist, when we look at that Holy Eucharist, that's the body and blood of Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine. It's not even bread. It's not even wine. A scientist will look at that and will say, that's bread and that's wine. It ain't, though. How could you tell me that? It is, because God told us. You're never going to be able to scientifically figure that one out because it's above your human science. Just the way a man could walk on water. Just the way Jesus walked through a door after he was resurrected with his human body. Just as fire burned in hell. God is above nature and his science. Now, you can argue, does God allow the angels to understand? Does he allow them the science to understand that? You can argue. Is that angelic science realm, or is it only divine science where only God knows how he can do that? That's not an issue here. The main thing we know is it's certainly above human science. That's something as Catholics we say, I don't care what you scientists say. You can put that in the test tube and say, I'm sorry, Richard, that's bread. I'm telling you it ain't bread. Because our Lord told us that by faith. Well, what do you mean to tell me? Well, it's above your human science. And it's a total act of humility on mankind to sit down and say, well, Lord, I accept it because you said it, and everything else you said that we could explain by science has been explained, therefore I believe it, although I cannot comprehend it. Okay? And I say to those scientists out there, tell me how a man can walk on water. Tell me about these miracles where people have no nose and then the nose peers out of nowhere. How does that happen? Or the way that, and even people who worship the devil know that these demons can pick people, witches up out of their body and transport them faster than the speed of light. How does that happen? Okay, regarding the Holy Eucharist, which we're talking about, is above human science, something that human science cannot explain. According to human science, they would say that's bread and wine, but we know that that's the body and blood of Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine. In other words, the bread and wine is only an illusion. Now, we can sort of compare that to what humans even try to do on Earth when they try to make foods, imitation foods. For instance, they have imitation butter, imitation apples. And you say, boy, that just tastes exactly like an apple. And some of these things are so good, you can't tell the difference between the real thing and the fake thing. That's not really an apple. So even in the human realm, we sort of mankind is being able to develop a science in which he can create things, like butter. They're always trying to create margarines that are not real butter. And they go, it tastes like real butter to me. But guess what? It's not real butter. It tastes like bread or wine to me, but it's not real bread. It's not more real wine. Men have already used human sciences to do these things in the human realms, where they can have something that tastes like an apple, but it's not an apple. Tastes like butter, but it's not butter. Okay, so you already know where we can have things that appear and taste to be one thing, but they're really not what they appear to be, even in human science. Now, if the whole Eucharist, we go one step further, God does the same thing. It tastes like bread, it tastes like wine, but it's not really bread, it's not really wine. But God goes even one step further. He makes it appear to have all the elements that bread and wine has, but he really doesn't. It's an illusion. He puts that illusion over there once the miracle takes place. So what if a scientist was to look at it, he says, boy, it even looks like they have all the components of bread and wine, but it really doesn't. It's the illusion. It's totally his body and blood under the illusion of the bread and wine. So that's just one example we can use, even how human science itself is able to create certain, not create, humans never create anything, they discover things. That's another
They're
issue.
Just makers.
Yes, right. Human beings never create things, they only discover things. So we can understand how the, even in the human perspective, they'll have something that tastes like an apple, but guess what, it ain't an apple. It tastes like butter, but guess what, it's not butter, okay? So God Almighty himself, of course, he can go one step further, and when the scientist is examining that bread, boy, it looks like it has all the elements of bread and wine. No, that's just an illusion. Now, we also just said before how the devil can also present illusions to people.
The good archangel.
Raphael the archangel, when he appeared to Tobias in human form. He said, I'm Azariah from the tribe of Israel, and I'm to guide you on your journey. He felt him, he touched him, and everything. But he's an angel, he's not a human. You see what I mean? So God changed, if God with the scientists examined the angel there, he's going to find all human attributes, but that is not human at all. He even ate with them and everything, you know? And so there's no way no scientist would be able to tell that that's an angel. Even Jesus says somewhere else, to give to people and be good to all, you know, when you the corporal works of mercy, you never know when you might be given to an angel. So there's a good example, even in the human realm, how we human scientists have even been able to come up with certain things in which imitate other things, but it's not the real thing. They go, hey, that's good butter you're eating, right? But yeah, that ain't butter at all, you know. Hey, that tastes like bread, doesn't it? Ain't bread at all. Tastes like wine, it ain't wine at all. You know, and so God goes in there and he puts the illusion under there. It's not really those elements, you know. We now we have to understand how we even humans have tried to duplicate, imitate things that you, when you look at it and you eat it, it looks like one thing, but it appears to be another thing.
Therefore, Christ's most precious body and blood in the Holy Eucharist is not bread and wine. It is not bread and wine, even though it looks like bread and wine, both by the eye and by human science. It is not bread and wine, even though it tastes like bread and wine and affects men just as bread and wine does. Yes, it has the same effects as bread and wine, which means that if Christ's blood, which appears to be wine, is drunk to excess, it will make the priest drunk. It is not wine that makes the priest drunk, but God makes the priest drunk in order to perpetuate the illusion that it is wine from the merely human scientific viewpoint. That means if the priest drinks Christ's blood to excess, Christ's blood will make him drunk, as if it were wine. The Bible mentions in several passages of blood making men drunk. For instance, the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, says, "Thy enemies shall be made drunk with their own blood, as with new wine," end quote, Isaiah 49:26. God allows the priest to get drunk if he drinks too much of Christ's blood to perpetuate the illusion that it is wine from a mere human scientific perspective. Where would the test of faith be if any one of these things that bread and wine is and does is absent? If the bread or wine did not look or taste or act like bread and wine, then there would be no test of faith, because men would know for sure by human science that a miracle took place. God made sure that the miracle of the Holy Eucharist could never be explained by human science and even appear to contradict science from a human perspective, to let men know that there is a science greater than human science that only God knows, and that is the divine science. When St. Peter walked on water, the water had all the elements and effects of water, and Peter's body had all the elements and effects of heavy flesh on water, yet he did not sink into the water. From a human scientific perspective, he should have sunk into the water. This miracle, then, like the Holy Eucharist, seems to be impossible and unexplainable by human science, but is possible and explainable by the divine science, which only God knows. St. Paul teaches that faith itself in things that men cannot know excludes believing in these things because they are provable to humans by evidence. He says, quote, "Now faith is the substance of things to be hoped for, the evidence of things that appear not. For by this the ancients obtained a testimony. By faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, that from invisible things visible things might be made," end quote, Hebrews 11, 1-3. Hence, if something were provable by human science, it would not require faith to believe in it. Oh, what a great test of faith the Holy Eucharist is. As one of the methods in which God separates the wheat from the chaff, the humble will believe things by faith that they cannot know by human reason or human science, from the proud who believe in nothing unless they can understand it by human reason or explain it by human science. The one religion rests upon God, the other upon mere humans who get sick and die, who cannot even save their own physical life, who try as they may, cannot bring paradise upon earth or create one single thing or make it live forever. Amen.
So on the bottom line with the Holy Eucharist, this is something that is above human science. Well, human science can't even go there and try to explain it, don't even attempt to explain it. We believe it because God, who's observed it, who's all true, and that God never lies, and he's the one who told us that this is what it is, therefore this is what it is, even though I can't understand it. As far as scientifically, I can't comprehend how God does it, I believe it because God says it. And that applies to a lot of other things that God does and all the other miracles that we can know. So there's a lot of things that are above our scientific understanding. Now, in these things, there's no human science that can explain it. We have to submit to these things by a total act of faith, because of faith in God who reveals them. And when God observes things, there's no error. When a human observes certain things in the natural plane, he can make an error, and I'm going to go into the area on how true science tackles both of these issues. So true science has to attack these things in a slightly different manner. Now, there are other things that God has revealed to us that we can absolutely be explained by science through the natural law or through supernatural revelations. You know, you can, it's historical things in the scriptures about the existence of real people and civilizations through archaeology. True archaeology can reveal that there was a Babylon, there was a flood. Oh, abundant evidence of the flood. True science proves creationism and totally disproves evolution, totally. Evolution has no proofs in any true science. It's a total false science. So we can prove that. We can prove that the Earth is at the center of the universe. Science can explain that. Now, from a Catholic perspective, a Catholic scientist, at least a Catholic scientist, because we know like a lot of people who aren't Catholics don't believe that one in the papal infallibility, but as Catholics, we're bound to believe in that. That's a dogma. Whenever God supernaturally reveals to men and then is infallibly defined by a pope or belongs to the ordinary magisterium of the Catholic Church because it was taught by the unanimous consensus of the Church Fathers, we know is true. So true science starts with the fact, the truth that God has told us. God has told us that the earth is in the center of the universe and it's unmovable. Every science has to conform to that, and if it starts to deviate from that, throw it out and put your brain cap back on and go to work again. Because it is scientifically explainable, so we can do it. Now, if it wasn't scientifically explainable to human science, like the Holy Eucharist, you're never going to explain it. But geocentrism really is. Creationism really is scientifically explainable. The fact that there was a flood, the fact of the existence of historical people and civilizations can be provable. Many things can be proved that God has told us through science. True science not only has nothing to fear, it solidifies and defends the truth. And what you have out here today with false science is deliberate lies. People that are out there lying about the evidence that they're producing, they're not being honest about the evidence, and they're not making logical conclusions, and they control the whole university system, and they're not allowing anybody to get up into the upper levels into these universities unless they believe their lies and go along with their lies. So it's nothing but one endless chain of lies. It's no different than if somebody came out and said, I'm going to start a new mathematics based upon 2 plus 2 equals 5, and I'm going to push it in all universities and force everybody to believe it. So from a Catholic perspective, we first of all believe dogmas because the church teaches it. So a Catholic scientist can never even for the split second entertain any science that would say the sun is in the center of the universe and not the earth. He has to put it down, and by the way, folks, there's been Catholic scientists around the Galileo period of time and even before then after that had an abundant proof that indeed the earth is in the center of the universe. And there's two different models you can use to prove that. I don't want to get into those details now. I'm going to be posting it up this week on my website. You can read it. So a true Catholic scientist that sits down and say, make your science fit the truth, okay? Because we know it's true, because God told us. So if somebody comes up and says, it looks like I haven't really come up with a science yet, or a science is tending to say the sun or some other planets in the center of the universe, you go back to your drawing board. That's wrong. My premise is absolute in this case, because God is the observer who told us that the earth is in the center of the universe and immovable. So all my science is based upon that. And if a Catholic scientist even entertained the notion for one split second that the sun really could be at the center, he's a heretic. So my point on this is the way, this is the way a Catholic scientist has to approach science. When he's talking about things that have been revealed by the natural law upon his heart and things that have been supernaturally revealed by God through his church, that's the way a Catholic scientist has to go with it. Now, also, let's take the realm of the scientific world out there in which many things God has not revealed to us, and he left it for us to discover. Many different scientific principles about radio waves and the way light travels and the way we can have TV sets and we can talk by telephones and all these things. Now, how does a true scientist even handle that? He first takes what he observes and he forms a hypothesis, something that he believes is true from what he's observing. Okay, and then he formulates the science to see if it fits. Now, he might not really be observing what he thinks he sees. You know, there may be another reason behind it, but he starts with what he thinks he's observing, and then he formulates the science to try to defend that. If his science doesn't do it, he either has a bad science or he's got to look at that thing in a different way. He's not observing it the right way. Because a human can make a mistake when he's observing something and God's not the observer. It could be an illusion. He could be looking at something he thinks is one thing, but it's really another thing. But an honest scientist will then set out to do two things. Either keep working on a science to make what you observe true if it is, and then when you've exhausted all your possibilities, change your original hypothesis to what you're observing and formulate more sciences to figure it out. But an honest scientist is always going to honestly look at all these things until he comes out with the right solutions. A dishonest scientist, what I call false science, science of the devil, he absolutely takes things that he knows are false, that have been proven false, and he continues to go with it. because he's a liar. Remember our Lord says Satan's a liar and the father of the lie? And he says in one of the verses that all men are liars, trust no man, and they really are. So a false scientist, either due to pride or because he wants to discredit the true God, he will look at some scientific evidence and deliberately ignore it. And he will go along with what he absolutely knows to be a lie, and that's false science. The small example is the piltdown man with evolution, which they try to say was part monkey, part man skull, you know, together. And what they found out was this guy just found bones in one area where he had monkey bones and human bones. And he took the human skull that was laying around the monkey skull and put it together and said, here, we got a monkey-human person, right? Later on, they found out that, first of all, there was humans at the same area, so if evolution was true, how come we got humans living at the same time we had the apes living that they were supposed to evolve into? So they proved it to be wrong beyond a doubt. It was even exposed, and the New York Times even exposed it. And I think either this guy or another guy who came up with another type of these false heads came out before he died and said it was a hoax, and he admitted it before he died. My point is, after all this evidence came out, guess what, folks? They're still teaching this. The evolutionists refuse to admit that they've been lying on all this evidence, and they've been caught lying on every one of these things. And their science is so false, it's like somebody coming into a university and saying, I want to now start teaching mathematics, a new mathematics, or 2 plus 2 is 5. And you let that guy go, and you let him teach it, and you start publishing it in all books. That's how anti-science evolution is, how false it is. So a false science is when somebody refuses to recognize the scientific evidence that he sees, or changes observations. And we're talking about human science now. We're not talking about science that's above human science, like the Holy Eucharist. That's above human science. That cannot be explained by any human science. And if a scientist is truly humble, and he is a humble man, he's also going to admit, when he looks at the universe about him, and he looks at mankind, that, boy, there's some things in this world I can never explain. Where did we come from? Who created us? What a great God this is that made this. And how could this came out, how could we have been created out of nothing? That's common sense. You've got to be an idiot to believe in evolution, that there's no God. Only the atheists are the biggest fools in the world. You know, I think it's Psalm 13:1. The fool saith in his heart, there is no God. So we're talking about the way of science, true science, and we're talking about false science. You will find the only reason that these false sciences are being believed by people today is because we're living in the final days in which Antichrist has such complete power over the world. This is going back for at least to the 1800s. I'm talking big power of the scientific realm, so that you can't even get into these university systems to be teaching the truth anymore. They have this evolution in heliocentrism, and look at the Holocaust lie that we're talking about. Just look at my thing, how the Jews lied about the Holocaust. What are they trying to do now? They're trying to pull over another big lie, the biggest lie of all, that Jews didn't kill Christ, and Pilate wanted to kill him. Can you believe they're even telling this lie? They are. Oh, this is so bold. All you got to do is open up your Bible and know Pilate didn't want to kill Christ. He did everything in his power to release him and liked Christ. Now they're trying to tell us that Pilate hated Christ. Another big lie, folks. And I tell you, in a couple of years, if they change a few of the Bibles and completely start teaching this in all the university systems, it's going to be like evolution and heliocentrism. Everybody's going to start to believe it. So false science is based upon deliberate lies. And deliberate lies in regard to human science that could, and things that you could understand, and false science is also rooted in a lack of humility in admitting, like in the Holy Eucharist, there are certain things that my human science will never be able to explain. And therefore, even though my human science tells me that's bread and wine, my faith tells me it's not, because I know there's certain things that God has done that we could see, miracles, that my human science can't explain. When God put an arm on a person who had no arm, or the saints who had their heads cut off and their heads were reattached and they're walking around again. How can any human science ever do that? It's above human science. He can't scientifically tell you how that's done. And the divine science, which I spoke about before, divine science are the things that only God can understand and that only God can do. Now, God allows his angels to do other things that they can understand and they can do, but there's certain things only God. Only God can understand his own infinity. And no one can understand how they can see God creates things out of nothing by observing it, but they can't know how he does it. They can't duplicate it, because they're not God. Nobody, not even the highest creature in heaven, our Blessed Mother, can comprehend how God creates out of nothing, because she's a creature as great as she is. And even the angels, as smart as they are, there's certain things even they cannot know. And that's what I call the divine science. And that just comes down to a total, what does it come down to? Say, because if you really want to say, I want to know everything, I want to be Mr. Joe Scientist and explain everything, what are you saying? You're God. You are God. Amen. You who wake up every morning with headaches and your whole body's getting old and decrepit, who are confused about many things, have the audacity to presume that you're God, that you can know everything. See? So God tests these people. Now, as I say with true science, we have nothing to fear from it. True science defends the true God. And really, even the Holy Eucharist, and church will teach us even, dogmas that are above our human understanding, ability to reasonably understand them, are not unreasonable. They are not contrary to reason. We just can't understand it. But God could. It's reasonable to God. Mm-hmm. Our human science cannot explain scientifically how could this be. But it's not anti-science. It's not false. It's true science. It's divine science. Or it's angelic science. But it's, to God, it's science. Because it works. The devil, when he, his dogma, his heresies, and his false science is contrary to reason and is contrary to science. It's what we call false science or anti-science. You look at these signs, look at today the Protestant heretics when we show them all the verses that prove them to be wrong, and then they come back and repeat their heresy in our face and refuse to look at what we're showing them. You realize how much evidence is out there? Evolution is so anti-science and so false science, it's beyond comprehension. They have not one shred of evidence to defend their heretical and false teachings that's full of lies backed by lying scientists and deceptions that have been one discovered after another. That's what we call false science. Now, a Catholic, when he attacks this position of scientifically trying to explain creationism, he starts with the dogma that God created man out of the slime of the earth, not from an ape. That's ordinary magisterial teaching. Anybody starts saying man came from an ape or something,
he is a heretic.
And he has to start formulating. He cannot ever accept anything based upon evolution. His science has to be based upon that. Noah and the flood. It has to be based upon that, that there really was a flood. And there's plenty of evidence of that. Okay, so true science absolutely defends everything that us Catholics, the Catholic Church and the Catholic God. I'll give you a small example of one guy. He was correct about one thing he was saying, that he got a little bit angry because I had a friend who was a scientist, and I wanted him to go out there and scientifically explain geocentrism, which is explainable by human science. It really is. So we got nothing to fear, correct? And you'll even read the Pope saying, it is the duty of Catholics to foster scientists. The Catholic Church has never been against true science. The Catholic Church is the mother of true science. She is the center of true science. Only she could give you true science. She's not against progress in medicine and science and astronomy. Never has been. All these things redound to the glory of God. My major when I was in college was science. I love science. And science redounds to the glory of God. My father, who was a medical doctor, even said, anybody who looks at the human body doesn't believe there's a God, you're going to be an idiot. So the church has never been against science, ever. She's always for true science. But what she is against, totally against, is false science. And false science is any time human science tries to explain something that's only explainable by divine science or angelic science, or something that even tries to explain something that could be explained, but you lie about it and you're deceptive. And when the church shut these people down because it didn't allow them to do that, these people got angry. Why? They're not interested in the truth. They wanted to pervert the truth. They wanted to pervert true science. They wanted to pervert the word of God. That was their goal. And the church knew it. And says, no, I will not let you do this because this is a lie. I will not let you print all these books in your schools on evolution because you're lying to these children. And you're not presenting them with the truth. It is totally and utterly false. Any more than a parent will give her kid poison in a meal and continue to feed your kid a slow poison that's going to kill him in a year or so. And you're going to say, I will not let you eat this poison even though it tastes good, or you think it's good. I will not let you do it. That's what the church is doing. She's guiding mankind in the right direction so he can explain things with true science. And then in those areas in which he cannot, she tells you, bow your head down to God, and don't you dare try to subject the Holy Eucharist to human science or miracles, because it cannot be done. Now, there's other things, too, that you can even know through the angelic realm, where Satan has had given power to do certain things, where you can turn a rod into a serpent. Now, he does that by trickery. I'm not going to get into how that happens, but we'll briefly talk about it. When Moses was confronting Pharaoh, the black magicians, and Moses turned his rod into a serpent. Now, God can make something out of nothing. So God, actually, when he did that with Moses, turned that rod into a real serpent. The devil did what appeared to be the same thing. The black magician turned his rod into a serpent, but that was by trickery. The devil can actually take a rod and remove it, blind everybody's eyes in a place temporarily, and put a snake in its place and throw it on the ground. He just got a serpent from somewhere else and substituted like a magic. But in his realm, magic is even more powerful because the devil has the ability to even blind your eyes, to go in there and shut you down so you cannot see what he's doing. It's so quick. that your eyes cannot even see the switch. It's a switch. He's switching the staff, getting rid of it. Even when the Inquisitor saw one of the witches, she was stealing milk from her neighbor's cows. And the devils were milking the cows and bringing the milk into her house, and they saw milk coming out of plain air into the bucket in her house when they went in there. You can't see how the devil could do these things. So when the devil did it, he did it by trickery and magic, but it was still by a science. He knew how to switch things. He knew how to, yeah.
And if the devil manifests himself just like he did.
Ronald Kermit came with another. Just these are opinions we're going to how the devil can do it. We know it's based on angelic science. He could even have made himself look like a serpent.
Exactly.
That's another good one. And we know that. Yes, because the devil can make himself look like a human. Because he's an angel. Even the good angel Raphael made himself look like an Israelite, because Azarias, when he appeared to Tobias and went on his journey with him. So the devil could even have done what Ron was saying. Now, all angels can do that, even fallen angels. Even Christ warns. The angel could turn himself into a fly or into a rock or into a UFO. That's when people see UFOs, those are demons. Devils turning themselves into UFOs. The devil can do that. Can any scientist duplicate that in the lab? No, he can't. But my point is, we're looking at two events that are taking place here with Moses, that both of them, which are above human science. One is explainable by angelic science, because the devils know how to do those things. They can change themselves into looking into a serpent. He can do a switch. He could have done that either way. Then we have God's divine science taking that rod and really turning it into a serpent, making that rod into a real serpent. That's divine science. But both of those events are above human understanding. And neither one of those you will duplicate. But let's talk about things on earth that people even can know, people that do magic. Now, we're not talking black magic per se, but I think some of these things are involving black magic today, but magicians that go in there and they do illusions. When you go to these famous magicians in the world today, that they have people appearing in the, they're on the stage up front, then they appear in the back, and then they're putting swords through people, and it looks like they're killing them. They open up the box, and no one's being stabbed. Guys are appearing to be levitated. I know about these things, because I know people who are who delved into these things, and there's always a scientific explanation for it. There really is, because you have to join these magician groups. You have to promise secrecy, so you don't tell people the secrets. But there's always a scientific, humanly explainable scientific way between these types of magic. But by your observable eye, you're looking at it and you're saying, boy, this is above human science. I don't know how anybody can go from here to there and how a sword can go through somebody and not hurt them. Those things are explainable by human science. But when you're observing them, you can't at the moment understand it, but then if you go down and delve a little bit deeper, even a human can understand. Human magic, they do these things. Through different types of deceptions. Now, and I've seen how magic things work, even, because I know people who were doing these things where I grew up. These guys, some certain guys who were magicians, who put on magic shows. Simple magic shows, even, like sleight of hand with card tricks. You know, how do people, and they're hiding a card up here and you don't see it. Okay, so you're observing something, it appears to be one thing, but it has itself an explanation, even though you can't explain it. There's another. You can even have a scientist go to some of these things. Absolute smart scientist, and he's not going to know how they do it unless he knows their tricks and all the little gadgets that they're using. He can sit down and try to figure out, maybe come to the solution as a logic puzzle or something. But there's an explanation for those things. Okay, even on the human level, we can deceive one another. Or even in the progress of science, even when man first saw lightning, he didn't understand the nature of lightning. Or when man didn't know about radio waves, they're there, and then he discovered those things, you know. And so you may think that that was above human science, and it was not above human science. It's just human science didn't discover it yet, because we finally did discover it. But if you went back in time and you had somebody turn on a TV or a phone, you'd think that's angelic science. But that was subject to human science. Okay, so now there's certain things, though, like we say, that angelic science and divine science that we can never explain by human science. And the God does that just to humble people. So he says, look, there's going to be certain things, even if you get to heaven, which God desires all men to get heaven, but very few do, unfortunately. But when you get in heaven, God does not want a bunch of rebellious, arrogant, prideful people who want to be like God. Who, when they get to heaven and go, I want to know everything. I had one guy that told me that. He says, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to know everything. He says, you're never going to know everything because you're not God, you're Weisenheimer. I said, who do you think you are? You're going to know everything. I says, are you going to ever know how God creates out of nothing? You can know it's absolutely true if he does it in front of your own eyes, but you can't know how he does it. Are you ever going to be able to comprehend infinity? Go ahead and try to do it and your brain will explode. Because only infinite can do it. And we know it has to be true by reason, but we can't comprehend how it could be. You understand? So this is God gives us things on earth where he tests our faith. The Holy Eucharist is the most beautiful test of our faith. I love it because somebody's going to come in and say, scientifically, that really is bread and wine. No, it's not. You think it is. You think someone, my science is wrong. In this case, your science is wrong. And I'll give you other examples, too, which people notice to be true. Women are anorexic and are very thin. They look in the mirror and they really see themselves fat. This gets down to the point that the devil can actually put a phantasm in your mind and make a white wall look black and a black wall look white. He could distort reality for you. The devil can even do that. So scientifically, you're really saying, I'm really seeing that thing, but you're really not. That's why when you're not right with God, and God lets the devil deceive you because you've been serving him for so long, there's no way you're ever going to know the truth. You're not going to know what you're looking at is true or not true because the devil can mess with your head. Yeah.
They mess with your head so bad that you compromise the very tenets and principles that you stand upon, which is science, and that's just the point. The point is, not only is it bad science, it's just not scientific.
And so
that's how God
punishes them, with the operation of error.
That they're running around their tails, and they're not being scientific.
And then he actually puts those deceptions upon him, so that those things which they were observing before, they're no longer even observing anymore.
That, they compromise the very tenets and laws that they hold so firmly, which is the scientific laws.
Right. And so then God breaks,
right. Hypocrites of their own.
And God breaks them loose because of that. This is what we see. You're right. What people can know. How many times when we tell the Protestants, Philippians 2:12, today, 1 Corinthians 9:27, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12, 1 Corinthians 9:27, I chastise myself and bring my body in subjection, at least I preach the gospel to all as I myself become a castaway. Matthew 19:17, our Lord says, if thou enter, let keep the commandments. We quote these to Protestants and they keep saying, faith alone, I don't have to obey the commandments or do any good works. They shut their minds off to the science. This is scientifically provable in the scriptures. Anybody with an ounce of common sense can understand what's being said here. They shut themselves off and ignore it. Look at it. And they don't look at it. That's it.
This is your Bible. Look at it.
Yes, exactly. That's it. That's it. Look at it. This is the issue.
Now,
how long does God allow them to not look at it and then give them the operation of remission? 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. Where they now no longer believe the truth and the devil puts phantasms in their mind. Where they really begin to see the white wall black. They really see it that way. And they can no longer. God took it away because they didn't obey the love of the truth. There's a point where that happens and it's scary. It happens with a lot of people. And then they really believe in their lies because they didn't believe the truth and it was thrown in their face. And this is what happens with anybody who's involved in false science. False science is no different than anything else with fallen mankind. It's based around lies. When you know you're lying. You've got a lot of these evolutionist guys that have converted now into creationism. These big scientists. That their whole life they knew they'd been lying to themselves. And one guy, when you read about this thing, he even came up and he said, one of my students came up and asked me a devastating question that refuted my whole evolutionary thing and forced me to go home at night and think about it. And he converted. You know, about the creation of the world come from an intelligent being and all that. Intelligent design. Nothing cannot create something that has intelligence and that takes thought, you know. So he asked him a couple really basic questions about that proves creationism and proves God, and this science finally in his whole long career, he went home at night and it got to him.
So science
was
really a form of a gospel leading him to the truth, but he didn't go all the way. You need to pray for him.
Yeah, I know, that's right. And now that false science that he was originally into, and you read this with a lot of these people that are now creationists, they'll come back and say they're really angry because they've been lied to in their textbooks. Now, if they were really good scientists even along that time, and now that they're out of it, at least they're being truthful on that point, you really want to get up and question it. And I'll just give you a little example about evolution, why I never believed it. I didn't even need to know the scientific arguments. But first of all, I knew it wasn't what God said. That's the first thing. You know. But secondly, when they try to prove it to me, and by the way, folks, I learned this in a so-called Catholic school. All right? This is where you learn your biggest heresies and your worst things. They put that tree up that Darwin had, and at the bottom is a thing called a protocis, you know. And I says, where did that come from? And he says he never gave an answer. I says, well, this thing's totally false. I said, there's no God in this thing? The protocis? What's the protocis? Where does that come from? You know? And you can defeat any evolutionist by just keeping asking him one question. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Just keep asking him that. And he's dead. If he doesn't end up with God, he's a liar. He's got to end up with God if he wants to be honest, and then he's got to then find out who is the true God and what God has told us. Right. Scientific proof even disproves evolution. I found that out later on when I got the good books that they hide from us, and I'm going to be putting up on my website that really show how totally and utterly false evolution is. Just like the Holocaust hoax to the Jews. Just like when they say Pilate wanted to kill Jesus. Just like when they came along and said that the sun is in the center of the universe, which is the beginning of this whole thing. So a Catholic perspective Again, from our perspective, we have to believe whatever the church has told us, defined through her solemn or ordinary magisterium, by faith. That's our first reason we believe it. Then, whatever is scientifically explainable by human science, it's our duty to do that. Why is it our duty to do that? To refute the liars that are going to come out like we see today with the false science. Getting back to what I was going to say about this one individual who got a little bit angry at me because I wanted to get it scientifically explained by this friend who was a scientist, a physicist. And he says, well, Richard, no, it's enough that God taught it and the church defined it, I believe it. I says, I agree that that's why I believe it. But why are you afraid of having explained by science when it can be explained by science? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that's true science, Candace? True science has got nothing to fear.
If you fear science, then you're denying God, because really there's nothing to fear in science.
No, there isn't.
Then it's like, well, we shouldn't fear the devil, we should fear God. And that's the point. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because if you're fearing true science, you're really there's doubting your own thing. He got angry at me on this. I says, no, you're wrong. I said. And I don't want to quote the papal teachings on it. Many popes came out and said, it is incumbent upon us, and it always has been incumbent upon us, to support Catholic scientists, first just to discover things that we could discover for the good of mankind, even in general, and to discover things for medical fields and astronomy and all that. And he says, in particular, most important, to refute the ever-lying heretics and the devil who's always got false scientists out there trying to disprove us. Now, it's devastating if you don't counterattack that. Devastating. If you allow the evolutionists and heliocentrists to go around for centuries pumping their lies, when you don't make a concerted effort to your dying breath, I say, to your dying breath, because this all refers to dogmas about God and what he teaches. It redounds to the church. If you can discredit one thing, this is what the enemy's trying to do. If you can discredit one thing in the Bible and what the Catholic Church has infallibly defined, the church is false in everything she teaches, everything crumbles. So when we get attacked in any one of our infallible dogmatic teachings, we have to do all in our power to refute it. If it's a religious or theological thing, we refute it with theology. If it's something that can be refuted through human science, we refute it. We don't let false science win the day in things that we can explain. And in things that we can't explain, like the Holy Eucharist, we then use other examples to show these scientists that there's certain things that that human science can never explain, and compare it to things that they already know that have happened through miracles and events like that, about the creation out of nothing. How can you ever explain that? Even there's been periods and times that science couldn't explain things that later on they were able to explain. But things that are scientifically explainable through human science, we have to go out there and do that. We have to do it for the sake of the people that are being deceived by the liars. The same way we got to go out there and refute the heretics when they quote out of context Bible verses. And the simple people who don't have the time to study the Bible verses are being misled. Now, the simple people would never be misled if the priests did their job, if the Catholic priests taught apologetics as part of their standard Sunday sermons and catechism classes.
And be proficient,
because they would never be deceived by these Protestants who throw two or three verses out of context. We can hammer them with 100 other verses that prove them to be wrong. It's the same thing with also things that can be scientifically explainable that relate to what God has told. It's the same thing. So I told them, yes, we do need to have scientific explanations for things that are explainable by science, because we have the truth. And in this area, if human science can explain it, let's go to it, pal. Let's open up our universities and put all our efforts in that realm to support Catholics, good Catholics, scientists, to go out there. And we have. You can look back at the history of the Catholic scientists that refuted heliocentrism and evolution long ago. When I opened up these books and read, I didn't even know these guys existed. And their arguments are so solid, so true, so perfect. Evolution is so false, I can't even explain to you how false it is. We had this other person I was talking about, that we couldn't get him to work with us, but on the scientific, we already have the explanations. It's not something that just, but they need to be represented again. You understand? But well, that's what, when you read that and go, wow, this is not like something we haven't already done. The minute you open that door, Galileo opened up that gap to discredit the Word of God. And the ordinary magisterial teaching authority, the church, all hell broke loose. Pretty soon the whole Bible's up to discussion. Nothing, anything that seemed to be literally before and that the church has even defined, either through solemn judgment or ordinary magisterium, is up to discussion. It may no longer be true. Jonah was no longer in the belly of the whale. Even Christ told us he was in the belly of the whale. Miracles never happened. Jesus never rose from the dead. Everything's allegorical. You see where it all leads? But true science absolutely defends everything that human science can explain that God has revealed. It does explain it. False science doesn't. It's utterly false. Okay? And so our job out there, the Catholic Church, is just to letting people know out there, the Catholic Church has never been against true science. She's always, though, refuting false science. And today we have a big effort with creationism being resurgent again, which is really good. It's a good movement that is starting to represent and show evolution to be false. The heresy of heliocentrism is lagging behind, and what a lot of these creationists have to realize, because some of them don't, they still believe in the heliocentrism, that's the way where it all started. Because the minute if you say God was lying about the earth being the center of the universe and unmovable, then God was lying about Adam being created from the slime of the earth. That's also allegorical. We can get into evolution. Is God ever going to support a so-called Catholic group that's not talking geocentric or talking evolution?
It brings us right back to the very creation.
Yes, exactly.
Creation in the very beginning.
Exactly. And my petition right there is
to... And we're the authors of the Bible.
Right. And by the shame, this is what Ronald Clement is saying here too, is why it's so important. We want to convert some of these, and I believe some of these Protestants have goodwill, even though they're still heretics and outside the church. They're the only ones making an effort in these areas, creationism now and geocentrism. But they don't have the whole picture. They're still heretics. They're still outside the church. But I do believe that their efforts in this area is going to gain them grace from God to see the truth. But are they ever going to come into a Catholic church that teaches heliocentrism, evolution, and all these abundant other heresies? No goodwill people will ever come into that church. It's our job to hold what is true, to verify what these people are doing, support them in that one area in which they're working on, creationism and geocentrism, and then say, but you guys don't have the whole picture. And they'll begin to listen to us, because they know for sure geocentrism is true and evolution is false. And they're not going to listen to any church that comes along and says, we came from monkeys. I'm sorry. I don't care. And nobody can listen to, no goodwill person is going to listen to that church. No Orthodox Jew, or no Muslim even. Or a convicted Muslim is going to come into a church like that. It's a disgusting thing. It's totally anti-science even, folks. You don't even got to be a religious person to understand, belong to any religion, that there has to be a creator God. Unless you're an agnostic, you believe God exists, but he doesn't reveal himself, but at least he created us. You got to be the biggest dope to think that there is no God. You know, even the natural law upon your heart can refute that. So this sermon is paving a road for the future things that we're going to do and exposing a lot of these lies that have taken place and all the false science that exists out there. And false science, again, folks, is in two realms. It's when they abuse the human sciences by lying about things that are humanly knowable, lying about their evidence, their observations, or creating a lying science to make something appear to be what it's not. And they deliberately lie. The evidence is there and they don't want to hear it. The experiment's not working and they don't want to accept it. Or the experiment logically concludes that their hypothesis was wrong and they refuse to accept it. That's a lying science. That's a false science. And the other type of false science is when people try to explain things humanly, scientifically, that is above human science, like the Holy Eucharist, walking on water, when Jesus raises people from the dead. The spirit, or anything in the angelic scientific realm, or in the divine scientific realm. A true scientist, an honest scientist, admits, because of the natural law upon his heart, that there's certain things that our human science could never explain. And that even though my eyes appear to see one thing, I know they can be deceived. Because there's another realm out there, a scientific realm. If you go to the scientists, I say, with the fire burning in ice, how can that happen? How can Christ appear under the form of bread and wine? In this case, he totally obliterates the bread and wine. It's not even really there. The Lutherans believe in the heresy that Christ's body and blood is there, but the bread and wine is there at the same time. We believe there's no bread and wine at all. That even goes further. Yeah. That's a great act of faith. But we can even look at things in the other things that God has done to show. So a humble sign, a person who's humble, I don't care if he's even not Catholic yet, but he's humble. And he's operating a little bit with the law upon his heart. He's going to submit himself to certain things he knows that are above human science. You have some of these scientists, just go to a real exorcism and look at what the devil can do in an exorcism. Stuff flying around the room. People being levitated off their beds. Devils talking about things that happened years ago, factual things and all that. All the types of activities that take place during an exorcism. It'll shatter his, if he's an arrogant human scientist who only believes what he can understand through human science, it would devastate him. Yeah. He'll either go crazy and insane after he leaves that place because he refuses to believe what he saw. Or if he's of goodwill, he'll break down and say, oh my God, how stupid I am. There's a whole other realm out there of science that is above our understanding. There's a whole other world out there that we have no way of understanding unless we either take it from here or we get it from the devil. You know, and then he has to sit back and say, I've seen these devils, they're ugly people, I better go to God to get that information. And only, and we're as Catholics, God tells us what we need to know about the other world, and it really exists, and he gives us all the weapons we need to fight against that other world. The worst part about a scientist, a human scientist who just sticks with human science, he's ignoring the other realm. And sometimes, you know, even when they try to get into that realm, they try to explain it in different ways, which has nothing to do with the, like when they try to get into that other realm and they ignore the fact of devils and angels, you know, or that God, or they can even get into that realm and try to twist it. But in this area, even if you have somebody who's a Satanist even, or a demonic, or a witch even, he knows that these human scientists are idiots, because he knows there is another world out there.
That's where I think they employ psychology and also philosophy.
They use that to evade the real issue. Right. To look at it square in the eye, which is why all your psychology and psychiatry is all heretical and idolatrous, whenever you go to these guys, to explain spiritual ills. Because they're ignoring the other world, the other realm. And this is what a lot of your false scientists do, the whole group of them, especially your atheistical ones, with evolution and stuff. They're ignoring the angelic sciences and the divine sciences, which are above the human understanding. And it really comes down to one thing. That when you get down on your knees and realize you're a worm in the eyes of God, that you cannot understand everything, that you're just a mere creature, and that you can only know what God deems fit to let you know, and that everything you do know comes from God, and by His grace, and that He's given you the mind to know it, and that there are certain things that if God didn't even give you that, you wouldn't even know what's in the natural world around you if God didn't even give you that grace. That's why people are denying right now the very natural things that are before their eyes. They're denying things that are right before their eyes. That's when you get into the operation error we're talking about. So, it is the obligation of Catholics and the Catholic Church at all times to foster and support true science and to refute false science. And evolution is false science. You can also call it anti-science, but it's totally contrary to even scientific principles of a pagan, honest scientist who's a pagan. It's even contrary to their principles. When they look at things, observe things, and they have evidence. Even a pagan scientist, he doesn't have to be Catholic, doesn't he have to know about the Bible? He could be a Hindu or Buddhist, I don't know what. He could look and he could see, you know, this is wrong. Your conclusions are all wrong. Okay, I got no transitional stages where people are going half monkey, half man, and there's hundreds of other pieces of evidence that we can use to disprove evolution, even through just pure human science. I mean, you look at what happened in the 9/11 thing. When you look at that, look at the way our government lies to us about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. Right? They weren't there. These people are liars, folks. Please, I'm trying to wake you up and let you know. Once you get a couple lies from people like this, don't listen to anything they tell you. They're habitual liars. Our Lord said the devil is a liar and the father of a lie. And ultimately, anybody who's not in the Catholic Church is lying one way or another. Even some of these goodwill Protestants, who I believe may be of goodwill, where they are right now, they're still serving the devil because they don't accept the Catholic Church and all the tenets. But if they're ultimately of goodwill, they'll end up with us. I do see some of these guys of goodwill. My petition is to them, that they take a look and back off and look at the whole picture. And a lot of these Protestants, the science that they're using today, because they're only ones in the forefront defending creationism, geocentrism, they're using Catholic sources, if you look at it. They're going back and pulling out Catholic teachings that have already refuted it, and they're just making it public. And they get credit for that. And it's our job to support them in that realm, but also to refute them where they're wrong and call them into conversion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us, or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.